Today's daf is Vochim Daf Kuf Aleph, and we will begin on the second line of Daf Kuf Aleph Omer Aleph. So today's daf is a very geschmacka daf, a yesoidi daf, a little bit of a digression of some of the hardcore, more technical daf in the Masechtas Vochim, but it also requires an introduction. And really, the introduction to today's daf are the first two prokin in Parsha Shmini. So Parsha Shmini, which is a Parsha in the Torah, but it's also a Ben Azmanim Parsha. So it's not as known as some of the other Parshas in the Torah. And really, there's a lot going on in the beginning of Parsha Shmini. There's some very important Rashis, and it's very much the backdrop to this morning's stuff. So Parsha Shmini begins, Vayihi b'yom haShmini, kara Moshe l'Aharon u'levanu v'lezikney Yisrael. It was on the eighth day. The eighth day of what? It wasn't the eighth day of the week. There's only 7 days of the week. It wasn't the eighth day of the month. Chazal say that it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It was the eighth day of the Meluah. So everybody knows that the Mishkan was built on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Stating that, 7 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the very last week of Rosh Chodesh Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu inaugurated the Mishkan for 7 days, also known as the Shivas Yemei HaMeluah. And during those 7 days, Aharon wasn't the Kohen Gadol, Aharon's sons were not Kohanim, but rather Moshe Rabbeinu himself served as the Kohen Gadol. We're going to see in tomorrow's daf in great detail that Moshe Rabbeinu could have, would have, and should have been the Kohen Gadol, but because of the fact that he went back and forth, he was Shakur the Torah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the burning bush, at the Sneh, he lost the rights to be the Kohen Gadol, but for 7 days he was Kohen Gadol. And that was for those 7 days during the Shivas Yemei HaMeluah. And during those 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu would wake up in the morning, build a Mishkan, bring karbonos, special karbonos, the miluim, and he would take the Mishkan down at night. Would repeat that 7 times during the 7 days until finally, Vayihi b'yom haShmini, it was on the eighth day. On the eighth day, the Mishkan would be built and it would remain that way and until the next time they would travel. And on the eighth day, Moshe Rabbeinu would no longer be the Kohen Gadol, but today it was Aharon HaKohen that was going to be the Kohen Gadol. So Vayihi b'yom haShmini, again, the eighth day of the Miluim, but really on the calendar, it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Kara Moshe l'Aharon u'levanu v'lezikne Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu calls Aharon and his sons and he calls the Zikne Yisrael. He tells Aharon, he says, today's a very special day. Today the Mishkan is going to be built. Today the Shechina is finally going to rest upon Klal Yisrael. If you remember the context, this is after the Chetah Egel. And now the Shechina is going to come and it's going to show that Hashem is Merutzah. Hashem accepted the Tshuva of Klal Yisrael. It's going to be a spectacular day. And because of that, special korbanos have to be brought. So Moshe tells Aharon, so ordinarily, you read Parsha Shmini. When it comes to the korbanos part, you talk really fast, right? But, you know, now we're learning Zvachim. So this is actually very much relevant. So Moshe tells Aharon, I want you, Aharon, to bring two special korbanos. An ego ben bakar lechatas, and ayel oil to me. Then he says, I want you to bring korbanos sivur as well. Meaning those two korbanos are going to be yours. But in addition to that, you should bring korbanos for Klal Yisrael. The b'nei Yisrael to daber lemar, kuhusir izim lechatas. First bring a chatas. The ego the keves b'nei shonet to me in oil, and I want you to bring an oil. He continued. The sharva ayel is shlomim. You should bring a shlomim, umincha beludo bashemen, and you should bring a korban mincha, ke ayoy mazzeh. Nira Alecha. So Moshe tells Aharon, I want you to bring two personal karbanos. I want you to bring a chatas and a noila, and then I want you to bring karbanos sibur for Klal Yisrael. I want you to bring a chatas and a noila and a shlomim and a mincha. Vayikhu es ashativa Moshe al pnei oil moed. Vayikhu koleda vayam lefnei Hashem. So Aharon is a zoris. He goes and he listens to everything Moshe says. And vayikhu koleda. The entire Jewish nation, everybody. 600,000 Jews, they're all standing with Moshe, and then Moshe gets up and he speaks. And he says, Zeh hadova asher tziva Hashem tasu v'yeir aleichem kvod Hashem. Rabbeisai, Aharon, and his sons are going to bring karbanos right now, and you're going to see the Shechina is going to rest. So Moshe tells Aharon, I want you to go to the Mizbeach. I want you to bring the karban chatos, and then bring the karban oila. I'm skipping. First he brought the chatos, then he brought the oila. Because the chatos always comes before the oila. And just go through the psukim. There was Kabbalah, and there was Halacha. They did Zrika. but not just any zrika al karnes hamizbech. The way you're supposed to bring a carbon chatas. Ve'esadam, the leftover blood yotzak al yisoid hamizbech. V'chulu. The pasuk describes how Aharon brought every single carbon, his own personal chatas va'oila, and then the chatas to'oila, the shlomim and the mincha that was brought on behalf of Klal Yisrael. At the end of everything, after everything was done, va'yisa Aharon esyad, already holding pasuk chafes, Aharon lifted up his hands el ha'am va'yivarchem, and he gave them a bracha. Rashi says, what bracha did he give them? Birchas koyanim, yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, yor Hashem ponav eilecha v'chuneka, yisa Hashem ponav eilecha v'yosem v'chashol. Rashi, va'yered me'asoyis achatas v'ilu v'ashlam. And he comes down from doing the karbanos. Vayovoi Moshe v'Aharon on Olam Moed. Vayetzu vayivarchu asam. Then Moshe and Aharon go out. They together. Now they get a bracha from Moshe Rabbeinu as well. And as this is all happening, v'yeru kvoid Hashem alon. And finally, the kvoid Hashem, the Shechina, comes, it descends and rests upon Klal Yisrael. But it wasn't finished. Vayteitzei esh melufnei Hashem. And then a fire comes down from Shemayim. Vatoichal as Alam Mizbeach, and it consumes what was on the Mizbeach. What was on the Mizbeach? As the oila, the carbon oila, which is kuloi kolo, v'sachalovim, and the fats from the other carbonos. V'yera kolo'am, v'yoroinu, miloshin rina. They were so besimcha, v'yiplo apneim, and they bowed down. This was an unbelievably spectacular event. So there were some great moments in the history of the Jewish nation. Maimon Har Sinai comes to mind. Here's another one. This wasn't just an ordinary day. There were special karbanos that we brought. Feels a little Yom Kippur day. We're going to see soon that all the Avodah was done by Aharon, like on Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol used to do the Avodah. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol would bring his own karbanos. Aharon had to bring his own chatas. Aharon had to bring his own oila. And this is an unbelievable day. And then amidst all the excitement, right when the Jewish nation are reaching their climax of simcha and closeness that they feel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the pasuk, Vayikhu b'nei Aharon, Nadav, Aviyu, Ishmichtas. Aharon, HaKohen's oldest two sons, Nadav and Aviyu, took their pan, Vayinu b'hem esh, and they put fire in the pan. Vayisimu le'a k'tayrus, and they put k'tayrus on it. Vayakrivu l'fnei Hashem, esh zara. And they brought a carbon. They brought this k'tayrus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it was Zara. It was friend. It was something that Hashem had never commanded them to do. And another fire came up from Shemayim. And it didn't consume the carbon. It consumed them. And Nadav and Aviyu died l'fnei Hashem, literally in the oil moed. And as soon as that happens, Moshe turns to Aaron and he says, now I understand. I had heard, Hashem had told me that the day that the Shekhinah is going to descend upon Klal Yisrael, this is going to be something that's going to take place that's going to cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu tremendous covet. There'll be this phenomenal Kiddush Hashem. I never knew what it meant. And I suspected that maybe it meant somebody very holy was going to die. And Aharon, Moshe says, to be honest, I thought it was going to be either me or you. But now I realize that what that was referring to was Nadav and Aviyu, and must be Nadav and Aviyu are greater than us, thus they're more befitting karbanos than we would have been. Regardless, Nadav and Aviyu die amidst all this excitement. And what's Aharon's reaction? Vayidem Aharon. Aharon was quiet. Aharon didn't say anything. So here he's going, he's doing everything he's supposed to do. He brings the karbanos, and amidst all this excitement, he loses his two sons. He doesn't say a word. Vayidem Aharon. Vayikra Moishal Mishal Velsav Neozeel Doid Aharon. But there's two people right now, two corpses that are lying in the Mishkan. So immediately Moshe calls Mishal Velsavin, and he tells them, Kirbu Suas Achechem Espani Akadosh Amichos Amachre, go take your cousins and remove them. Vayikruvu Vayisam Bekutantam, grab them by their ksoynes on Michutz Machane, Kasha Diber Moshe. And Moshe immediately turns to Aharon and his sons and he tells them, you know, I understand that you just lost a close relative, and al pi halacha this dine avelos, dine aninos, but at the same time, Roshechem al tifro, uvedechem loisifro, loisamusu. Vachechem kol beis Yisrael, the rest of Klal Yisrael, Yifkos Yisrael, Vashasar of Hashem. But you have to remain in Oyel Moed, you have more work to do, you have to stay here. Either way, Vayidaber Moshe Aharon ve'elozav le'elozav. We can continue then to the next pasuk, and that is really forwarding to the end of the day. So, an amazing day. Moshe Rabbeinu comes towards the end of the day, and he turns to Elazar and Isamar, and he tells them as follows: "K'chu es ha-mincha ha-noiseres mi'ishei Hashem. I want you to take the mincha that was left over. Ve'ichlu matzah samazbech. I want you to eat it. Ki kodesh kadoshem hi. Va'achaltem oisa b'makom kadosh ki chakcha v'chak banecha ha mi'ishei Hashem ki chen tovesi. And I want you to eat it." What was Moshe Rabbeinu telling them? He was telling them, "You're going to think you're an oinei. So being that you're an oinei, you're not allowed to eat from the kach. No, I want you to eat it. Ki chen tovesi, because I was commanded by Kadosh Baruch Hu to tell you that this is a hayirah shah, as we're going to see in the daf, that even though you're an oinei, still you're supposed to eat this carbon." That's chazei atnuf, and then he tells them the same thing with regards to the carbon shlam. I want you to eat that away again as well. V'hayu l'chol v'anecha itcha l'chol goylem kasha tziva Hashem. Again, kasha tziva Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu goes again. El Elazar veli Samar, bun of Hanusarim, the leftover sons of Aharon, the two sons that hadn't died, and he tells them, "I want you to take the mincha, I want you to take the shlamim, and I want you to eat these karbanis despite the fact that you're oinin him, kasha tziva Hashem, because you're going to think I'm an oinin. An oinin is not supposed to eat from the kachim. No, despite the fact that you're an oinin, still I want you to go ahead and eat." Incidentally, what does that mean? Bun of Hanusarim, isn't a funny way to refer to Elazar and Isamar? Moshe goes to the two sons that didn't die. Banav Hanaisar. I heard once from Moshe Weinberger. He said that Moshe was coming to Elazar and Isamar, and he says, "You realize your two older brothers died. They died and you didn't die. You know what that means? That means Hashem left you here for a reason. It means you have an achrayas. Banav Hanaisarim. You have to live with a chip on your shoulders, the survivor mentality, that if you survived and others didn't, there must be a reason for it. This was real mussar. You're Banavan Isar. This wasn't a callous, insensitive way of talking. To the contrary, he was giving him piercing toichacha. He told him, "Your brothers died, you didn't. You're here for a reason. And make sure you figure out what that reason is and you make the best of it." So he comes to Elazar and somebody says, "You have to listen to what I'm about to tell you. You have a tremendous achrayas on your shoulders. You're Banavan Isar." Bottom line is, so this is what Moshe Rabbeinu tells him. Stating that, Moshe Rabbeinu comes, and we have a few very ambiguous psukim. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes, and he hears that Aharon, Elazar and Isamar, they took the carbon chatos, and they burnt it. Meaning they didn't eat it. Again, Bonavan Isar. Moshe Rabbeinu gets really angry. One of the three places in the Torah that Moshe gets angry. So Moshe gets angry at Elazar and Isamar, and he tells him, he gives them mussar. Why didn't you eat the carbon chatas? It's kodesh kadoshim. Why do you eat the carbon chatas? It's not like it's possible. It's not like the dam entered the heichel, so it has a psal nichnas. You're going to tell me you're an oinei? But I told you, kasher tzivesi. I told you to eat the mincha, the shlamim, the chatas also. You could have eaten all the karbanis. Why did you not eat the karbanis? We spoke out once from the Yismach Yisrael, the Alexander Rebbe. He said, "Madua lo yachaltem es hachatos b'mokam hakodesh is Rosh Tevis Ahava." Moshe Rabbeinu was angry. He's giving them mussar, bonavan, isarim, but Ahava, es hachatos b'mokam hakodesh. And what did he tell him? Why didn't you eat the carbon chatos? Ki kodesh kadoshani. That's the Brisker Rav in Parashat Shemini. We've spoken out so much of this right already. Where the Brisker Rav says, based on the Rambam in Mitzvah Peites and Sefer HaMitzvahs, that the only time there's a mitzvah achilas kachem is by kodesh kadoshim, but kachem kalam there's no mitzvah. And that was the teichacha. Ma'adua lo yichaltem es hachatos ki kodesh kadoshim. Oh, it's kachem kadoshim, so there's a mitzvah to eat it. If there's a mitzvah to eat it, why did you burn it? So what does Aharon tell Moshe? You expect me to go eat this carbon chatos? How could I eat the chatos? Look what happened to me. I lost my sons. I can't eat it. If I would eat the carbon chatos today, you think Hashem would be happy with me? Moshe heard what Aharon said. And he said, "My brother Aharon, maskim. You're 100% right." Rashi brings, we'll see it in today's daf. Hoida, he admitted that he was wrong, and he wasn't embarrassed to say that I made a mistake. Hashem told me, "You're right, you were supposed to eat the carbon chatas. I made a mistake. I was wrong." What was the mistake? So we'll speak it outside, and then today's daf is going to flow very, very nicely. We're going to see in today's daf, it's a machlokes tanan, exactly why Aharon, despite the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu had told him, eat the mincha, eat the shlamim, understood that the right thing to do was to burn the carbon chatas, and where Moshe Rabbeinu had made a mistake. Rav Nechemya, which is the pshat that Rashi brings in Chumash, says that Aharon knew that there was a Yirah HaShoah, that despite the fact that him and his sons were oinonim, still they were supposed to eat the karbanas. But they thought that was only with regards to the kodshesha. That was only with regards to the karbanas that were special karbanas that were being brought because of the fact that it was a special day. But the karbanas that were being brought because it was an ordinary day, in fact, in the parasha itself, you see that they brought the karban tamid, because every day you bring the karban tamid. And it was Rish Chodesh we started off this morning with. It was Rish Chodesh Nisan. So they brought the musafin of Rish Chodesh. They Aharon felt that the karbanas that were kodshei dairos, the Hayrasha didn't apply to. The Hayrasha only applied to the Kachay Shah. It didn't apply to the Kachay Dairus. So the Chatos that Aharon HaKohen had burnt, that he didn't want to eat, was the Chatos that was part of the Musafin on Rosh Chodesh. He thought, being that it was Kachay Dairus, you're not supposed to eat it. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I hear. Vayishma Moshe v'ita be'enav. There's another Pshat in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, they say that the reason Aharon burnt the Chatos was because the Chatos had become tamei. And it became tummy, it was for that reason that he burnt it. Either way, that is the rather extended introduction to this morning's daf. Regardless, Zvachin daf kuf aleph is a classic. And this beginning of Parashat Shemini comes up throughout Shas. Comes up a lot. It's a little bit confusing, certainly when you're not learning Kachim. Even when you're learning Kachim, it's a little bit confusing. The backdrop is really what we just discussed right now. And if you want to learn it with the Torah Shavua Peh, the first place to go is Zvachim Daf Kuf Aleph. Says the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon, when Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Aharon, Allah's any summer, that despite the fact that you're oining him, still you should eat from the Kachim. So he says you should eat the Kachim. And he mentions it three times. He says it regarding the Karban Mincha. Chues ha-mincha ha-noiseres mi-ishei Hashem. Eat it. Kichein tzuvesi. And then he says, regarding the chatos, why did you burn the chatos? Why didn't you eat it? Kasher tzivesi. And then with regards to the shlamim, he says again, kasher tziva Hashem. Why did he say it three times? Kichein tzuvesi ba-ninu sechlu. The reason Moshe Rabbeinu said it the first time was he was trying to tell them that you're supposed to eat the kachim, despite the fact you're an oinein, and ordinarily an oinein is not allowed to eat kachim. How do you know oinein is not allowed to eat kachim? Because oinein can't eat meiser. Lo'yachalti ba'oinein mimeni. You say it in vidui meiser. And kal v'chomer, meiser that's kalut, oinein is not allowed to eat. Certainly kachim, that's chomer, an oinein is not allowed to eat. See, either way, the first time he said kichein tzuvesi was, he was simply telling him that despite the fact you're an oinein, I want you to know there's a rasha that you're allowed to eat this. Kasha tzivesi, the second time he said it, that's by the carbon chatos. Incidentally, if you look in the psukim, it's really the third time. The Gemara is mentioning them out of order. When Moshe was angry, he told them, why didn't you eat the carbon chatos? And that's regarding the carbon shlamim. Again, the point is, the reason it says, the emphasis over here is that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them that even though I know I'm saying a chiddush, but at the same time, I want you to know, I'm not making this up. Loi me elai ani oimer. This is something that Hashem told me to tell you. There's a hirasha that even though ordinarily an oimer is not allowed to eat kachim, you're allowed to eat kachim. So what emerges from this brisa is that even though Aharon, Elazar, and Yisamu were oinin, Aharon was an oinin because he lost his sons. Elazar and Yisamu were oinin because they lost their brothers. And an oinin ordinarily is not allowed to eat kachim. It's a lav. But there was a rasha, that they were able to eat it. I'll ask you a kasha. Aharon HaKohen, at the end of the parsha, burns the carbon chatas. And Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry. Why did you burn it? And Aharon tells him why he burned it. Vayishma Moshe v'ita beinav. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, I hear, and he was moida. He was not embarrassed to say that he made a mistake. What did Aharon tell him? What was the I hear? The Vayishma Moshe, literally, I hear. What did he hear? Says the Braisa, Mipnei Anidus Nisrafa. Aharon told him, I'm an oinin. What do you mean? How could I eat the carbon chatos? And Moshe Rabbeinu said, I hear. And that's what Aharon means when he tells him, you expect me to eat the carbon chatos? Who is the Eila? He's referring to Nadav and Avihu. He said he lost his two sons. How's he supposed to eat the carbon chatos? I thought it was a rasha. I thought Moshe Rabbeinu was told, on the introduction, we already spoke out the answer. But for now, learning the Gemara in real time, Frank the Gemara, Kasha, that if there was really a Hirasha, that despite the fact that the Oinim still they were allowed to eat the Kachim, so why did Aharon tell Moshe, I can't eat it because I'm an Oinim? And Moshe Rabbeinu said, I hear, Amashmul, like Kasha, HaRab Yehuda, HaRab Nechemya. It could be the way to answer this theory is really totally in the Machlokes Tanaim, because it's a Machlokes Tanaim why, in fact, Aharon burnt the Karbachas. The Tanaim, Neamnina, Sister Sarfu, Lekach, Nemaka, Eilu, Divir, Rab Nechemya. Nechemya said that the reason the Karbachas was burnt is because they were and Oinonim, they weren't allowed to eat. No, it wasn't burnt because of Aninus, it was burnt because of Tumah. Say, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, that if you're going to tell me that the reason that the carbon Chatas was burnt is because of Aninos, because they were Oinim and they themselves couldn't eat from the carbon Chatas. Is that a reason to burn? Burn a good Chatas? You don't just burn Kachim. You burn it if there's nothing to do with it. But why would they have burnt it? And three Kashas, says the Gemara. Number one, we know there were three Chatas that were brought on that day. So if there were three Chatas, this wasn't the only Chatas, there were many Chatas that were brought. So if there were many Chatas that were brought, why didn't they burn all the Chatas? Why is this the Seirish Chodesh, the only one that they burned? First kasha. Second kasha, davaracha, hayroi lechem be'erev. Aninus is only during the day. Why couldn't they eat it at night? Davaracha, valoi Pinchas hayimon. Pinchas was there. Pinchas was Nadav and Avihu's nephew. Right? Pinchas was Elazar's son. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. Aharon's grandson, Elazar's son, Nadav and Avihu's nephew. They were, Pinchas wasn't an oinein, and being that he wasn't an oinein, he was a kohen. Why didn't he eat it? So it says, Rabbi Reb Shimon, you're going to tell me the reason it was burnt is because of the aninus? That's not a good reason to burn it. Three kashas. Elamai, why did they burn it? Because it became tameh. That's why they burnt it. But the bottom line is, says Shmuel, the teretz to the kasha is very simple. The teretz is the brisa that says, Mipnei aninus sarfu, that's going according to Nechemia. And Moshe Rabbeinu, you're right, was moida. Because there must have been no Hirasha saying that an Oinin's allowed to eat kachim. We have a brisa that says there was a Hirasha that an Oinin's allowed to eat kachim. That's going according to the other Tanam Rehuda Reb Shimon, who hold that the reason it was burnt was not because of aninus. And when Moshe Rabbeinu said the immortal words, I hear, he wasn't referring to aninus. Because there was a Hirasha that despite the fact that they were Oininim, still they were like, what was he referring to? He was referring to Tumah, it was something else. As we see later in the Gemara. But the bottom line is, that's the first teretz in the Gemara. Rav Amar, Rav says a different teretz. Edividi Rav Nechemya. Really, both prices are Rav Nechemya. It's both true. It's true that there was a Rasha, that despite the fact that Aharon was there, some who ate him, still they were allowed to eat kachim. And it's true that the reason Aharon didn't eat the carbon chatas was because he was anointed. It's a head-on stira. The Gemara of Alei Kasha, Kam B'Kotche Shah, Kam B'Kotche Doiris. Aharon understood that the Rasha was only regarding the Kotche Shah, not regarding the Kotche Doiris, and that's why it was only the carbon Chatas of Rish Chodesh that he burned, because that was the carbon. How does Rav Nechemya answer the other two Kashas? The Gemara is going to come to that on Amid Beis. Either way, says the Gemara, Rav Nechemya Hechim Etaretz Lani Kroi, V'Rabbanan Hechim Etaretz Lulahani Kroi. So we have a Machloikis Rav Nechemya on the one hand, Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon on the other hand, why Aharon burnt the Seir Rish Chodesh. According to Rav Nechemya, Mipnei Aninos Nisrafu, according to Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon, Mipnei Tumo Nisrafu. Now the Psukim themselves, the Teresh B'Ksav, are very, very unclear. So the Gemara goes through it with us. Says the Gemara, how's Rav Nechemya going to understand the Psukim? And how's Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon going to understand the Psukim? Says the Gemara, Rav Nechemya B'taharetz Olach, Rav Nechemya is going to explain it as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu comes, and he sees that the Karmel Chatos was burnt. He gets angry. Vayikzoif al Olazer v'al Isamar b'nei Aharon ha'noisarim leimar. And he tells them, Madu alo yechaltem es ha'chatos b'mokam ha'kodesh ba'ahava. But he gives them mussar. He says, why didn't you eat the Karmel Chatos? Amaloi Moshe l'Aharon, Shem nichnas damal of naiv l'fnen. Is the reason because the dam of this chatas, which was supposed to be on the Mizbeach Achitzain, entered the Heichel, thus it has the psul nichnas, om aloi, so Aharon's talking, and that's if you're looking inside, it's pasuk yutches, hein loy huva es dam, ala kodesh pnima. No, there's no psul nichnas, the dam never entered the kodesh pnima. So Moshe Rabbeinu continued, he said, shem chutzlim chitzas ayatzas, maybe it was yoytze, maybe it exited the Azara, om aloi, ba kodesh, the end of the pasuk. That's again Aharon's response. He says it always was Bakoidesh. It never left. So then he tells him, maybe you brought it when you were an Oinein. If you brought it when you were an Oinein, the Kohanim did, maybe that's why it became possible. So Aharon tells Moshe, not Amaloi Moshe, Moshe's talking. Amaloi. So Aharon says, Moshe, did they bring it? The one that brought it. And that's the next pasuk. Vayidaber Aharon el Moshe. Hein hayoy mekrivu as chatasim. Did they bring it? I'm the one that did it. And a Kohen Gadol is allowed to be. Kohen Gadol is allowed to be makriv oinin. Amaloi. So Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, if that's the case, that if hein lahu ves dama, the dam wasn't nichts. Uba kodesh hoisa, and it wasn't yoitz. Achol toichlu hoisa kashetivesi. Baninus yoichlu. Then why did you burn it? It wasn't nichts. It wasn't yoitz. You brought the karbonos. Thus, there's no psul oinein in the hakrova.
And I have a rush sure that an oinah is allowed to eat it, so we checked off all the boxes. So what's the problem? Why did you burn it? Amaloi, so he told him, Vatekrena oisi ko'ela, v'achalti chatas hayoim hayita b'ni Hashem. Aharon said he's an oinah. He lost two sons today. Could he eat it? Meaning, Shem aloi shamata l'bekat yisho. Maybe this hayrasha that you heard, that an oinah is allowed today to eat the kachem, is only referring to the special. It's a rasha for the kachem shah. Dibu kachem doiris, because if regarding the kachem doiris, kal v'chaymer v'maisa akal. Umat maisa akal amr toiru l'ichalti b'ani v'meni. Umatach maisa, which is not so chomer, you find the Torah says, l'ichalti b'ani v'meni. What does that mean? That an oinin is not allowed to eat maiser. The kachem doiris like hoshkin, and certainly an oinin shouldn't be able to eat kachem. Miyad v'yishma moisha v'yita v'einov. Moisha heard that. He liked what he heard. Hoida v'loi push shalvoy ma'loi shamati. He didn't say, I never heard that. No. Elo Omar, he said, Shamati, the Shachachti, Moshe Benu was okay. He admitted what he heard. So again, this is from the Nechemya's Pshat. Really, the way we spoke it outside, just here in the Torah Shebiksav, the Gemara is just making it work into the Psukim. Says the Gemara of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, Eich Betar Tzeluhu. Had Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon going to learn the Psukim? Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, who learned that the reason Aharon burnt this carbon chatas was not because there was no way to eat it, he could have eaten it. The reason he burnt the carbon chatas was Mipnei Tumas Arfuah. How's he going to learn the Psukim? So it's very similar, but a little bit different. Says the Gemara, Madu Alei Chaltum Es Achatas, B'makam HaKodesh. Moish Rabbeinu gets angry, he hears that the carbon chatas was burnt, and he comes in, Bahav. But with teichacha, madu alay chalta mesachatas. Shema nichnas dama of nayvul of them. So he says maybe you burnt it because the dam that's supposed to go on the mizbech achitzan was nichnas into the heichal. Thus there's a psul nichnas. Amaloi, so he told him no. Hein loy huves dam. Shema chutzlim chitzas ayatzes. Maybe there's a psul yotze. Amaloi. No, Bakoidish I saw. It was Bakoidish and never left the mechitza. V'dilma baninos ikraftu pasul saw. Maybe it's because there was a psul oinein in the hakrava, and oinein is not allowed to do the avodah. Amalei Moshe. So Aaron tells his brother. He says, Moshe, hey, hikrivua, the pasul with aninus. Did they bring it? That there should be a psul aninus? I'm the one that brought it. And Kohen Gadol is allowed to be makriv when he's in oinein. Moshe Benu continues. Maybe you were pesheya. Maybe you were negligent. And maybe you were metama the basa. So here Moshe Benu already himself taps onto the fact that maybe there's a psul tumah over here. But he almost accused. He said, maybe you were pesheya, Aharon, and maybe you caused it to be tumah. And I understand, Aharon. It makes sense. Because, you know, lemaisa, you lost your sons, and maybe because of the tsar, aga miro reichu, peshatuba, you were pesheya, itamoy. Oh my Lord, Aharon says, Moshe, kachani beinecha. Really? That's what you think? Shani mevaze kachim kashamayim? That I would be mevaze kachim? Vatikrenu yoisi ko'ela? Vafilo elo ke'ela? Unbelievable. Aharon says that even if he would be in a greater state of tzar, even if he would be suffering more avelos than he was already suffering, ain't any mevazik kachi shemayim. He said, I would never be mevazik kachi shemayim. Oh my Lord. So Moshe said, I hear. So then what's going on here? V'hei lo yuvas damo. If the dam wasn't nichnas, u'bakoydesh oysana wasn't yoytzei, achol toichlu oysa bakoydesh, kasher tziveisi, baninus yoichluo. You're telling me it wasn't nichnas, it wasn't yoytzei. You, the Kohen Gadol, were makriv, so there's no psul oinein in the hakrava. There's no tumah that happened to pshia. So why don't you just eat it? And there's no issue of an oinein eating it, because kashetzi veisi, three times, I'm telling you, there's a yirasha, there's nothing to worry about. Amaloi. So Aaron told him, Shem aloi shamat el balayla. Maybe this yirasha was only that at night. The night after, that's when it's okay to eat the kachem. The ibayayim, because if during the day, it doesn't make sense that there should have been a hayra, even a hayra shah, that a kohen should be able to eat kachem while he's a real oinein. Why? Same kavuchemer. Ma maisa kal amr teru leichalti b'ani mimenu. Kodesh chamer loy koshke miyad vayishma Moshe vayita ve'enov loy bush Moshe loy ma loy shamati elo shamati v'shachachti. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu's coming with a taina. Why didn't he eat it during the day? So Aharon tells Moshe. This is where it gets a little bit confusing. During the day, I understand it was a yirah shah, but I don't think the yirah shah was to eat it during the day. I think the yirah shah was to eat it at night. Okay, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, mask him. He wasn't embarrassed. He says, you're 100% right. But he boiled the shoe, the michlabot. So why didn't he eat it at night? And this is where the tumah part comes in. So he told him, tumah ba'inus basa, because it was tumah, and being that it was tummy, by the time nightfall came around, it was for that reason, I couldn't eat it. So okay, this Braisa was explaining the second opinion in the Gemara. That's the lesser known opinion in Shas. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, who say that the reason Aharon burnt the chatos wasn't because of aninus, but rather it was because of tummy. Stating that when the Gemara played out the shakla v'tarya between Moshe and Aharon, and the Gemara explained where Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake and where he wasn't embarrassed to admit that he made a mistake, it was with regards to tumah. It was regards to aninus. But I thought Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon hold mipnei tumah sarfua, not mipnei aninus. So how do you reconcile this? On the one hand, they're arguing with Rabbi Nechemya. They're saying that the chatos wasn't burnt because of aninos, it was burnt because of tumah. But we just went through the shakla v'tayri. There was a whole shakla v'tayri over here. Where Moshe Rabbeinu thought the ira shav aninos was that you could even eat it during the day. And Aharon told Moshe, no, I don't think you're right. I think it meant at night. That night, even though there's still aninos, but at night you could eat it. But during the day? During the day not. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I hear. So again, is it related to tumah? Or is it related to aninos? Like Rav Nechemya explained it. So just posh upshan in the Gemara. What's going on here is as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu was upset at why the carbon was burnt. Aharon told Moshe, the reason it was burnt is because it became tumah. And the tumah happened ba'inus. Ein ani mevazik kachim, chalila, this has nothing to do with the tzar of the avelos. It happened ba'inus. Tumah happens. Tumah happened ba'inus, that's why it got burnt. But Moshe Rabbeinu was still upset. This is the rest of the story. Moshe Rabbeinu said, why'd you wait so long? Meaning, it was sitting around for hours, and by the time nightfall came, it was already tame. So Aharon told Moshe, because I couldn't eat it during the day. He says, why not? Because I was anointing. Moshe said, who cares you were anointing? Kashetzi vesi. It's okay. It was hirasha, you're allowed to eat it when you're anointing. Aharon told Moshe, no, I think the hirasha was only for the day. I don't think the hirasha was for the day. At night, where the aninus is more like, that's when there's a hirasha. But during the day, not. So I waited, and by the time I waited, anointing happened. Like it sometimes does. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, I hear. He was hoid of a bush, he was masking. So the reason that the carbon was burnt wasn't mipnei aninos. Because they could have eaten it at night. They could have eaten it. The reason it was burnt was mipnei hatumah. But at the same time, there was still a misunderstanding. There's a shakla v'tarya between Moshe and Aharon that relates to hilchas aninos, that relates to the hayra asha, because lefi Moshe, that Aharon could have eaten it during the day, the tumah would have never happened. He would have eaten it immediately. And that's why Moshe was upset at Aharon. He said, why do you let it sit around? Aharon told Moshe, because I hold that the hirasha was only for a night, it wasn't for the day. As a result, I waited around. Once I waited around, the tumah bainus happened. And when Moshe Rabbeinu heard that Aharon was right for waiting, he didn't have a tiny why it became tumah. He was okay with that. He was upset. Maybe if the tumah would have happened, the Pshia would have been, why are you waiting around? But he had to wait around. And being that he had to wait around, there was no Pshia. So if there's no Pshia, it happened by Inus, it's going to be okay. So again, Sai according to Rav Nechemya, and Sai according to Rav Yudin and Rav Shimon, there's a shakra v'tayr, some misunderstanding, so to speak, between Moshe and Aharon, in terms of what this Hayra Shav, Kashetzivesi was. According to Rav Nechemya, Moshe held it was Hayra Shav, you could eat all the karbanos. Whereas Aharon held it was only negeya the kache shah, it wasn't negeya the kache dais. And the kache dais you can never eat. Not during the day, not at night. There was no way to eat the kache dais. So if there was no way to eat the kache dais, that's why Aharon had to burn it. There was no shayla Aharon was going to burn it. According to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, there was also a misunderstanding. Moshe Rabbeinu thought it's okay to eat it. Sai the kachay shah, sai the kachay dairis, sai by day, sai by night. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon held there was no chiluk between kachay shah and kachay dairis. There's no difference. So just like there's a ra shah for the kachay shah, there was a ra shah for the kachay dairis as well. But they held it was only at night when the aninos isn't so chamar. But during the day, not. As a result, they waited till at night. It just so happens the Sirish Chodesh became Tameh. And being that the Sirish Chodesh became Tameh, they could eat it. And that's why they burnt it. Moshe Rabbeinu was upset because he said, why'd you wait? That's Pshia. Aharon told him, I had to wait. That's where the misunderstanding was. With regards to the Hirasha, but at the end of the day, the reason it was burnt wasn't because of the Aninos. Because they ate all the other Karbanos as Oininin. They could have eaten this carbon at night as well. It was burnt because it just so happened that it became tameh. And this was the only carbon that became tameh. And as a result, this is the only carbon that was burnt. Half of a fella. That's the machlokes. Mipnei aninus nisrafua, or mipnei tameh hisrafua. But we're not done. Says the Gemara, Bishlam, the Rabbanah Bishlam, according to Rabbanah, Hainu dichsev hayoim. What does Aharon tell Moshe? Vaidaber Aharon ela Moshe. Hein hayoim ekrivus chatosim asaylosim lefnei Hashem vatakrinu eisikoilo. Vachalti chatos hayoim? So according to Rabbanon, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, it's very nice, the emphasis of Hayoyim. What's the emphasis? Can I eat it during the day? At night I can eat it. But how could I eat it during the day? El Rab Nechem, Yom HaYayom. What's day have to do with anything? It's not a vard in day versus night. It's a vard in the Sirish Chodesh, which is Kachi Doiros, as opposed to all the other Karbanos. So he says, no, Chayves Hayoyim. He meant to say that this is because of the day. It's because it's Rosh Chodesh, not because of Vayi Bayom HaShmini. This is related to the day of the calendar, to the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's Rosh Chodesh. It's Kachei Doiros. It's Kachei Doiros. That's why this one I have to burn. Bishlam, the Rav Nechemya, Hainu Dixiv, Hainayoy. Says another Kash. Bishlam, according to Rav Nechemya, I understand Hainayoy. Right in the beginning of Aharon's response, he tells him, Aydaber Aharon al Moshe, Hain Hayoyim, Hekrivu as Chatosim. What's the point of Hain Hayoyim? Rav Nechemya is telling him that this carbon is related to the Chayves Hayoyim, and being that it's related to the Chayves Hayoyim, that's why I had a Elu Rabbanah May Hein Hayoyim. What's the Hein Hayoyim in that Krava? The second Hayoyim, the Gemara thought made more sense according to Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon when he's explaining why he can't eat it. V'achalti chatos Hayoyim, I should eat it during the day. It sounds like during the day versus at night. But the beginning, Hein Hayoyim Hekrivu, he's emphasizing Hayoyim in the Hakrava. That works in Rabbi Nechemya. This is a carbon whose Hakrava is related to the Yoyim. But according to Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, what does it have to do? So the Gemara says, "Hachikam heine krivu ani akrafti." It's referring to what the Gemara said in Amud Aleph when the Gemara was explaining the shakl of attire between Moshe and Aharon. So the Gemara said that in one of the nuances, in one of the arguments, Moshe tells Aharon, maybe the reason you burnt it is because there was a psul oinein in the hakrava. And what does Aharon tell Moshe? I brought all the karbanos today. Hein hayoyim today. On Vayibaye Mashmini, Hikrivu es Chatosam, they brought the Karma Chatos. So that's what that Hayyim is referring to. It has nothing to do with Chayvis Hayyim, Kachay Shah, Kachay Doris. Either way, says the Gemara Omar Mar. So Yehuda Rav Shimon had three kashas in Rav Nechem. Rav Nechem, you said that the reason this Chatos was burnt, the Seir Rosh Chodesh, was because of the Psul Aninos. And Yehuda Rav Shimon has three kashas. The first kasha was, if the reason they burnt it was because of Aninos, they should have burnt all the chatos. Why they only burned this chatos? The second kasha was, why couldn't they eat it at night? And the third kasha was, Pinchas. Couldn't Pinchas have eaten it? So the Gemara is going to come back to all three kashas now and answer them. What are the three karbanos? The Tanya learned the Rabbis, Vesira chatos, Dorosh, Dorash, Moshe. So we hear so much about these three chatos that were brought by Hibayim Mashmini. But really, if you go through the psukim, it's not Mefurish in the psukim, but it's all it says Seir, one. Hachatos, two. Dorosh is three. Seir is Usir Nachshon. It's referring to the Seir Nachshon. It was the first of the Yud Beis Nesim that we're going to bring Karbanos, right? You read the parasha of the Nesim, at the beginning of Parashas Nisan, starts with Hamakriv HaRishon, who was Nachshon Ben Aminadav. He brought a Seir. Chatos uChatos Shmini. That was the special Chatos that was brought, that Moshe tells Aharon to bring right in the beginning of Parsha Shmini, the Chatos Tzibur, this special Chatos because it's a special day. And finally, Dorosh Seir Shor Rosh Chodesh. That's the Seir Shor Rosh Chodesh. Yachol Shor Hashem. This I would think that maybe all three were burned. Talmud Loim Avihinei Seiraf. It says Seiraf Lashon Yachid Echad Nisraf V'loi Shloshtam. Only one of them was Nisrafu. Dorosh Dorosh. Shtei Drish Islamo. What's this Dorosh Dorosh? This double Lashon. Amaluhu. Moshe told him, Neima Chatosu Nisrafa. The Elu Munachas. Why was this one burnt and that not burnt? Dorosh was, Moshe came with a Mamonavshach, right? Mamonavshach. If you're going to burn all three of them. And if you're not going to burn, so Moshe, just, he didn't hear this chilek. And that's what Aharon told him. No, it's not a Mamonavshach. Kachay Shah, Kachay Dorosh. This one became Tomei, those weren't Tomei. Whatever the response was. But the point is, the Dorosh Dorosh was, Moshe just couldn't understand why these one way and those another way. The Enya Dei. So which ones were eaten and which one was burnt? From the pasuk again, you don't know. Kishu oimer, when the pasuk says, what did Moshe tell Aharon? You're supposed to eat it. It's kachay kadoshim, and not just that. For oisan nasan lochem losay says avoyno edo. Heavy oimer says shir shurish chaydish, because the shirish chaydish is the only one of these three chatois that were mechaper. Right? What did Moshe tell Aharon? You should have eaten it. Because for oisa nasan lachem losis es avoyin ha'edel lechaper aleim. You need this for kapar. The Sirish Chaydish was mechaper. Shavuos that base. Tumas mikdash for kadoshav. It's mechaper for kadosh baruch hu. Kavi yachol. Hashem was memayit delevano. But the other chatois were mechaper. The chatos nachshon we had in the first parak has a din of an oila with regards to the laws of shalei lishma. Right? People make a mistake. Not all chatois were mechaper. There are chatois that were brought that weren't mechaper. The bottom line is that what was Moshe's taina? You should have eaten the chatos. Why? Because va'oisa nasan lochem loses es avoyno edo lechaper aleim b'fnei Hashem must be the one of kapara was the one that was burned. That's the seir rishchayda. Shaper kamalu Reb Nechemya. Shaper kamalu. L'maisa at the end of the day didn't Reb Yudin Reb Shimon taina good to Reb Nechemya. We know the answer. No, Reb Nechemya l'tamei damen kach yishalo possible aninos. No, that's the whole Reb Nechemya. Reb Nechemya is saying that Aharon was saying that the kach yishah the seir nachshayin. The seer of the Chayvus Hayoyim, those were eaten because there was a Hirah Shah, Kashetzi Vesi, Kashetzi Vesi, Kashetzi Vesi. It's only the Kache Dairois, the seer Rish Chaydish, that was the one that the Hirah Shah didn't apply to, that's the one that was burnt. The second argument Rabbi Rav Shimon made was, is why couldn't you eat it at night? Says the Gemara, Shapur Kamalahu. It's a good argument. Now, Nechemya holds Aninus Laila is the same as Aninus Yoyim. There's no difference between Aninus Yoyim and Aninus Laila. Yesterday's daf. As a result, that wasn't a taina. Dover Acher, a third pshat, a third kasha. V'haloi Pinchas ha'yimah. Right, what was the third taina reader Rav Shimon said? Wasn't Pinchas? Why couldn't Pinchas eat it? Pinchas is family. But he wasn't an Ironman, and he was a Kayan. So the Gemara, we'll speak our raid on this tomorrow. Shaper Kamar Leilachur, it's a good argument. Savalak Rebbe Lazar, Tamar Blazar, Rebbe Chanin, and Leiskayan Pinchas, Achahargo Lezimri. Pinchas at that time wasn't a Kayan yet. He didn't become a Kayan until he came to Zimri. Again, we'll go through this better tomorrow. But what happens right after Pinchas kills Zimri? He gets this, he's told that he's going to be a Kayan. It sounds like until he killed Zimri. He wasn't a Kayan yet. He killed Zimri at the end of the 40 years. This is right in the beginning. So Pinchas wasn't a Kayan. So Pinchas wasn't a Kayan. It wasn't an option. How could he have not been a Kayan? His father was a Kayan. So Rashi in Chumash asks the Kasha. Rashi says, because he was born before his father became a Kayan. The only time the son of a Kayan is a Kayan is if he was born when his father was already a Kayan. But being that Elazar was not a Kayan at the time that Pinchas was born, he needed Meshicha, like every Kohen Gadol would need Meshicha in order to be a Kayan. So even the Kayhanim had yet needed Meshicha in order to be Kayhanim. Ashi Amar Ashi says, same Teretz, the reason Pinchas couldn't need it is because he wasn't a Kayan. When did he become a Kayan? Not when he killed Zimri, but rather Achasam Shalom Bein Ashvatim. It didn't happen until Sefer Yeshua Perek Chav Beis. So it doesn't happen until years later, until they already entered Eretz Yisrael, where Pinchas made peace between the Shvatim, Shenema, Vayishma, Pinchas, HaKoyim, and Siyah, Eid, Varosh, Elfi, Yisrael. And it was at that point that he became, the context over there is that the Yidden suspected that Ruvain, God, and Chatzin, Sheva, Menashe, who were living by Ever Ayarde, being Ever Avoy Dezara, they had built this very big Mizbeach, and the Yidden thought that they were bringing Karbanos on this Mizbeach to Avoy Dezara, and a fight broke out, and Pinchas brokered peace. And after Pinchas brokers peace, the Pasuk for the first time refers to Pinchas as a Kohen. And says Rav Ashi, you know why that's the first time he's referred to as a Kohen? Because that's when he became a Kohen. He wasn't a Kohen until then. But the bottom line is that Rav Elazar and Rav Ashi are both saying the same text. The reason it wasn't an option for Pinchas to eat this kachin, according to Rav Nechemya, who says there was nothing wrong with the kachin per se, it was just Anina Sarfu, so just give it to Pinchas. Pinchas wasn't an Aine, it's because he wasn't a Kayan at that time. Freit the Gemara, according to Rav Ashi, that holds that Pinchas didn't become a Kayan until Yeshua Perach of Beis. Fuck, Siv, doesn't it say Behoisloi Lazari Achra? Psukim and Parashas Pinchas. How do you read this Psukim? It says clearly that Pinchas is told he's going to be a Kayan. So the Gemara says, yeah, it says that he will become a Kayan. He was given a bracha by Hashem that he's going to be the Kayan, but he didn't become the Kayan. Taisva says, so why did he become the Kayan right away? He got the bracha, he's going to be a Kayan. What was wrong? So Taisva says something unbelievable. Look, it's good to see Taisva inside. Dibra maskel, hahu bebracha udichsev. Second to last Taisva. Shebarchu HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheyeh a Kayan. Hashem benched him that he's going to be a Kayan. Umiyad ha'yachal yas Kayan. Really? Could have, would have, should have become a Kayan right then and there. Elo, shetchila tzarech la'albishoy ulamayishchil l'chan. You don't just become a Kayan. There's a process of how you become a Kohen. Kedin had yoytois hamischanchem b'chavitin. There's even a mincha that has to be brought. Al Shema. So why didn't they do that? Shema lo nesratzu leikol Yisrael ba'is Hashem. It could be because he wasn't merutza to klal Yisrael at the time. He didn't have public approval. Why? Because he had killed a Nasi. Then his popularity rose amongst the Oilon. And that's when he was ready to be a kohen. So you wonder why he wasn't a kohen earlier? Because he didn't win the vote. As a result, you have to win an election in order to be a kohen. Now you know the rest of the story. See, today it's easy. Your father's a kohen, you're done. But it used to be, no, you had to be voted in. And he wasn't. Because he had killed a Nasi, and Lemaisa, from a popularity standpoint, it had affected Pinchas. And Pinchas was told he'd be a kohen. It was a bracha, but there was a practical aspect that he needed to be voted in, and it didn't happen until years later, until Yeshua Perachav Beis. Now the Olam said, Pinchas, now we're willing to accept you as a Kohen. Either way, one last kasha. If Pinchas was a Kohen already from the times of Zimri, according to Rabbi Lazar, so why is the first time Pinchas is mentioned as Pinchas HaKohen in Yeshua Perachav Beis? So the Gemara says, Ahuli Yachis Zarei Acherov. The reason the Torah doesn't mention until later is, oh, it's over there that he was told. Not that he'd be a kohen, he already was a kohen, but that all the kohanim gedolim would come from his family. That was the chiddush of Pinchas HaKohen, as the first time he's referred to as that in Yeshua Perachav Beis. It's not related to he himself being a kohen, but it's related to this. Regardless, there's a lot more to talk about. On that note, we'll speak about that tomorrow. But just a little bit of raid as it relates to today's daf. And again, we've spoken so much about today's daf, so we can go back and mention, you know, some of the things that we've spoken about, from Achilas Kachin to the Chassam Saif. There's so much here, but let's try to say a Dover Chadash. First, an interesting Na'ara. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon both say that the reason that Aharon burnt the Chatas was
Mipnei Tumma Sarfo.
The Ravid wrote a Pirish on Teres Kayanim. And in the Ravid's Pirish on Teres Kayanim in Parashat Shmini, so he brings this Pshat and he says as follows: Mipnei Tumma Sarfo Kigoyin, what would have been the Tumma? Yayin Shenofal Olav Sheretz Mes. Maybe wine that a dead Sheretz had touched the Karma Chatas. And as a result, the Chatas became Tumma. So it says the Ravid that maybe what happened was, he goes, I'm not sure, you know, we weren't there, but it could be, says the Ravid, that what happened was there was Yayin that was Tomei. The Yayin was Tomei Tumas Sheretz. How so? Because one of the Shmoyne Shrotzim touched the wine. Now that the wine was Tomei and it touched the Basar, so now the Basar became Tomei. At first glance, it's Sisrei Taira. Why would the Ravid need the wine that's Tomei to touch the Basar? Now, maybe you need wine to be Machshir the Basar, but this Chibas HaKodesh, that's already a whole different shmooze. But the way the Ravid is just playing out the Tomei, the wine was Tomei, and then the wine touched the Basar. So I saw in the Shor Mitzion Malacha from Shlomo Zalman Bron, he says a Charifos. He says that the Mishnah says that one of the Asara Nisan that happened, La Avisenu B'Beis HaMikdash, we keep coming back to this, was that there was never a Zvuf, there was never a fly that was found in the Beis HaMikdashayim. So that was the kitchen that was in the Azor where they used to prepare the Karbanas. There was never a fly that, ordinarily, if you have all this meat, you would expect flies. But there was never a fly in the Beis HaMikdashayim. In the Mefarshe, HaMishnayah said that it wasn't just in the Mesa B'chaim, but it was in the entire Azara. The Azara had this miracle that happened, there was no Zvuv. So he says if there was no Zvuv, presumably there was no Sheretz. So he says, at first glance, you would tell me that had it become time, there's no Tum in the Azara. So you tell me, maybe a Sheretz. But there's a Mishnah. And the Mishnah says that one of the Azara Nisim was that there was never a Zvuv in the Beis HaMikdashayim. Which means there was never a Zvuv in the Azara. So how did a Sheretz come into the Azara? It wasn't possible that it was a classic Tumah Sheretz. Dr. Ravid, you know what must have happened? What must have happened was Yayin touched the carbon, and it was Nisbaru that this wine, before it entered the Azara, had come in contact with a Sheretz, and that's how it became Tumah. But just to tell me that there was Tumah Sheretz right now, it wasn't possible. Because it was one of the Asara Nisim that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. If it happened in the Beis HaMikdash, it certainly happened in the Mishkan, whose Kedusha was even greater. Either way, a Charifus, why the Ravid has to come up with this convoluted Mahalach. The Sheretz touched the Yayin touched the Chatas. Why don't you say Pashit? Say that the Sheretz touched the Karma Chatas. Teretz was one of the Asara Nisim. It was one of the 10 miracles that happened. As a result, that can't be what happened. Moshe Rabbeinu hears. Aharon tells him, Moshe, that I think you're making a toss, And Moshe Rabbeinu was Moida. Vayishma Moshe Vayita Be'enav Hoida V'loi Bosh. Medrash Rabbah says that not only was Moshe Rabbeinu Moida that he had made a mistake, but Moshe Rabbeinu made a ramkol. He went Vayavir Koil B'machana and he told everybody, I want everybody to know I made a mistake. Man, this all happened in the Azor. Not everybody had to know what went down. This could have been a private conversation that happened B'chadri Chador, behind closed doors. And nobody would have ever had to know that Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake. But Moshe Rabbeinu wanted people to know. So Moshe Rabbeinu says the Medrash went, he was Mavr Kol B'machana, that he made a mistake. Then at Siv, in his Pirush al HaTorah, it's in Herchav Dover, on this Pasuk, Vayishma Moshe Vayita Be'enav, it's two lines. He says as follows, Vayita Be'enav Hever Kol B'machana Sheto, Kein Hu B'Medrash Rabbah. V'tam Avorozu, you know why he did it, was L'lamid L'chachmi Ador, to teach the Chachmei Ador uledoyreis habayim and the people in the coming generations. Shloyeh adam gadol boish v'nirsa al toys hayra. That if a gadol makes a mistake, he has nothing to be embarrassed of. He doesn't have to worry about it. Sharei Moshe Rabbeinu gam kein ta. You know why Moshe Rabbeinu was mefarsim? What was the point? What was his benefit? What interest did Moshe Rabbeinu have in exposing himself and being mefarsim that he had made a mistake? Says the Netziv, he had an agenda. He wanted to teach all the Moirei Hayra that it's okay to be human, and it's okay to make a mistake, and nobody's perfect. And even Moshe Rabbeinu, who was Shechina Medaber B'Tech Kroinoi, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the son, and Moshe Rabbeinu was in Shemayim for 40 days, and 40 days, and 40 days, and Lechem Lo Yachal, Umayim Lo Shasa, and Ramei Simcha says in Azakhtoma to Sefer Shmoyis, that Moshe Rabbeinu had no Bechira, even though Moshe Rabbeinu had reached such high levels, but at the end of the day, he was still a human being. And Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake. And it's okay. That's the message. The message is, look, Doiros says the Netziv that Moirei Hayra are sometimes going to make a mistake. What came to mind was a word from the Lutzker Rav. The Lutzker Rav is in Parashas Nasa, the pasuk when it's describing the Karbanos Chatos. So it says that a Nasi who doesn't aver b'shoigik shesdoine karas, he brings a special carbon. And the parasha of the Chatos Nasi begins with the words Asher Nasi Yechta. And Chazal say Ashrei Hadar she'a Nasi Shaloi mevi karbon al shegadosi. It's a Gemara Masechtes Hayrias. And everybody tries to understand. What's so good about that? To the contrary, a Nasi that's bringing a carbon chatos is a Nasi that made a mistake. So if a Nasi made a mistake, the Nasi did an Avera, albeit B'Shoigig, but if the Nasi did an Avera, why is that Ashrei? Wouldn't it be much better Ashrei Hador that the Nasi's perfect? He never ever made a mistake. Says the Aznayim L'Toyra, the Lutzker Rav, that very often a leader is going to find himself in a situation where he's not sure if he should do something or not do it. And very often, the leader may think, you know what? Sheval taisa adif. It's better I don't do it. Well, I'm going to do it and then find out afterwards I made a mistake. Sheval taisa adif. And the Lutzker Rav says, there are many manhigim, there are leaders that they live that way. They don't do, they're quiet, they don't say, and they don't do, and they don't talk, and they don't get involved because, you know what? Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I don't have the self-confidence necessarily. I'm not 1,000% sure. It's not Moshe Rabbeinu kasha tivesi. Maybe I'm making a mistake. So they'd rather go ahead and just not do anything. It's sometimes that seems more reasonable. It seems more plausible. Says the Lutzker Rav, it's a mistake. And he says it beautifully in the Pesukim. He says that what would be if a person, a leader, went and did something that he wasn't supposed to do? So it would come out that Bekumva aseh, he made a mistake. When you make a mistake, become vaseh, which carbon do you bring? You bring the carbon chatas. Chatas is brought for loisaseh. You weren't supposed to do it, you did it. I did something that I wasn't supposed to do, albeit b'shoigig. You bring a carbon chatas. When do you bring a carbon oila? That's b'shaval taisach. When a person's mevatel mitzvah saseh, that's when you bring a carbon oila. So says the Lutzker Rav, they're different rabbanim. They're rabbanim that make mistakes, but they're chayav chatas. They do. They're proactive. If I make a mistake, so I made a mistake. But they're doing. They're chayvei chatas. But then there are leaders that make mistakes and they're chayvei oila. They never do. If I make a mistake, I should have done, okay, I'm only going to be a chayvei oila. Says the Lutzker Rav, Ashrei Hador, she'anasi shalei mevi karbon al shegagasei. You do. Don't worry about making a mistake. People make mistakes. This is the Vayaviru Kol B'machana. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. He was hoyde v'loy bush, says the Medrash Rabba. He went around and he exposed himself. Why? Not for him. It was for Doris. It was for other manigim that they should learn that Ashrei Hador she'anasi shaloi mevi karbon al shegagasei. Either way, just to end with one final la'ara. So Arya Gelbart called me last night and he told me a beautiful la'ara. He says, you know that, everybody asks, that you go from Tisha B'Av, Shabbos Chazoin, Chazoin Yeshayo with the Nigun of Eicha, and then you have Tisha B'Av, and then literally at the end of Tisha B'Av, it's a countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Right, especially this year, you're already allowed to shave Matzah Yom Kippur. You don't have to wait until Chatzos even. So it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, boom! And then it's already Shabbos Nachem, when you're preparing, who's bringing the booze, and how do you go from Shabbos? Let's be honest. What are you rolling your eyes for? Like, seriously? Are you drinking grape juice on Shabbos? So how do you go from Shabbos Chazoin to Shabbos Nachamu in an instant? How do you even make sense of it? How do you reconcile it? So he said, Gevaldik, he was telling me that yesterday we read the Kinnis, right? Arzei Alvonoin, and we were talking about Rabbi Akiva, who was one of the Asara Rugei Malchus, and it's one of the most moving of all the kinnis, and we talk about all the terrible tsaras that happened. So Rabbi Akiva was killed, right? That's yesterday. We mourned it. But what happened this morning? This morning, Klal Yisrael woke up, and we learned Zvachim Daf Kuf Aleph Amid Aleph. And we learned the Machloikis Tanoim, how to understand the Parasha in Parasha Shmini. And it was a Machloikis amongst the Tanoim. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon on one side, and Rabbi Nechemya on the other side. You know what Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Nechemya had in common? They were all Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. You know what the Nechama is? You know what the Nachamu is? It's true. It was terrible. Churban Beis HaMikdash. And things are far from perfect. We're in Golis. And we're going to be in Golis. Actually, Yibana Beis HaMikdash B'mehir B'yameinu. But at the same time, we have an Nechama. We can wake up the next morning with Nachin. You know why? Because we have the Torah. And even though Rabbi Akiva was killed, and he was killed brutally by the Romans, it's true. It was terrible. Arzei Halvanin. And we mourn it. We mourn it on Tisha B'Av, and we say it on Yom Kippur, and for the Tzadikim, Tikkun Chatzos. But at the same time, 9 to 5, we remember, it's really 24-7, we remember that we still have with us the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. We're sitting this morning, we're learning Rabbi Yehuda as in Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai, and Rabbi Shimon as in Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Talmid of Rabbi Akiva, like the Gemara says in Yevamos Daf Samech Beis, and the Tana Rabbi Nechemya. Rabbi Akiva was killed, but his Torah is something that continues, and that's the Nechama. You know, the Vilna Gaon says is that when do we say Nachim on Tisha B'Av? We say Nachim by Mincha. Why by Mincha? Says the Vilna Gaon, because that's when Churban Beis HaMikdash started. So Churban Beis HaMikdash started Mincha time. That's why you say Nachim by Mincha. You would think the Ikar Avela should be by Mincha. Right? What happens? After Chatzos, that's when we dial down the Avelas. You would think it's just the opposite. After Chatzos, you already sit, you can put the chairs and the tables, and already you say Nachim no less. Shouldn't it be just the opposite? Says the Vilna Gaon, take a look at a Rashi Masechtas Kedushin, where Rashi quotes a Chazal. And the Chazal that he's referring to is Mizmor La'asif, David HaMelech, Sol Baruch HaKodesh, that there was going to be Churban Beis HaMikdash. And he sang Shira, Fregin Chazal, Mizmor La'asif, Kina Mibayle. He should have sat down, he should have wrote a Kina. We should have said it yesterday. Why is it in Sefer Tehillim? Why is it Mizmor La'asif? Said David HaMelech, because I knew that the Yidden were going to do Averis, and I was afraid when the Yidden are going to do Averis, Hashem would let out his anger at Klal Yisrael, and that would be the end of Klal Yisrael. But now that I see Baruch HaKodesh, that when Yidden do Averis, Hashem is going to spare Klal Yisrael. What he's going to do is he's going to take away the Beis HaMikdash, which is terrible, it's horrible. But at the same time, there'll still be Klal Yisrael. He's saying Shira, there was a Mizmor. Says the Goyin, that when Mincha time comes on Tisha B'Av, and we remember Churban Beis HaMikdash, there's two emotions that are supposed to go through the Yid at the same time. On the one hand, he's supposed to think Chazon Yeshayo Ben Amoitz. He's supposed to mourn Churban Beis HaMikdash. But at the same time, he's supposed to remember Nachim. Because in Churban Beis HaMikdash is Nachamu Nachamu Ami. He remembers that it's true. The Beis HaMikdash was taken away. And like the Panovich Rav said when he went to the Arch of Titus, he said, Titus, Titus, where are you and where are we? The Baal, you took away Rabbi Akiva. You killed him brutally. There's a Chazon Yeshayo Ben Amoitz. But at the same time, Yid are going to celebrate Shabbos Nachamu this week. You know what the Shabbos Nachamu is? It's this morning's daf. It's Rabbi Yehuda, it's Rabbi Shimon, it's Rabbi Nechemya, it's the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's Torah lives on, and you can have Klal Yisrael without a Beis HaMikdash. We're proof of that. You can have Klal Yisrael without the Torah, and that's the Nechama. The Nechama is that despite everything that happened yesterday and everything that they tried to take away, we started this morning with Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Nechemya.